and to turn to John chapter 6 and to verses 16 and 17. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. It was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Jesus had just fed the 5,000, and in their enthusiasm, in their excitement, they were wanting to make him a king. And so in order to escape from them, Jesus had gone by himself into the hills in order to pray. And his disciples, they got into a boat, and they were going ahead of Jesus towards Capernaum. But the wind was strong, the sea was tempestuous, a storm was gathering. These disciples, they were fearful, they were panic-stricken. It was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Well, this experience of those first disciples, it is an experience which every Christian either has passed through, is passing through, or sometime in the future will pass through. It is dark, and Jesus has not come to you. And it may well be that is someone's situation this morning. Perhaps you wrestle with temptation. You struggle with doubt. You're gripped by fear. It is dark. Perhaps you're facing depression, sickness, sorrow. It is dark. Perhaps there are difficulties at home, problems at work, pressures with neighbours. It's dark, very dark. Perhaps that is your situation this morning. And what makes the situation worse is this: Jesus has not come to you. Your prayers, it seems, have not been answered. You have no real awareness of his presence. Christ seems to be absent, and in your heart you feel forlorn, forsaken, abandoned. It is dark, and Jesus has not come to you. Well, in such times, what is there in this incident which can be a help and a comfort to us? I want to mention three things. The first thing we see is this: that the darkness, the distress, it was not the disciples' own doing. It was not something which they had brought upon themselves. We see this in Mark's account of this incident. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 45 we read, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. This wasn't Peter or John being foolhardy. It wasn't Peter and John mistaking the weather conditions. No, they were in the boat because Jesus had told them to get into the boat. It wasn't a situation they had run into. It was rather a situation they'd been brought into. Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. Well, whenever it is dark and Jesus has not come to us, the question we have to ask is this: have I got myself into this situation, or has he brought me into this situation? Is this my doing, or is it his doing? In John chapter 13, we read these words. John 13, verse 26. Jesus said, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. Verse 30. Having received the piece of bread, Judas went out, and it was night. It was night. No wonder it was night. No wonder it was dark. Judas was betraying Jesus. Judas was sinning. No wonder it was night. And there are times, my friends, when it is night. Jesus does not come to us because of our sin, because of our disobedience. How can we expect to know his presence, to experience his peace, if we're doing things which are grievous and offensive to his spirit? No wonder it is dark. Therefore we must search our own hearts. How am I treating my wife? How am I treating my husband? How am I treating my parents? How am I treating my children? How am I behaving at work? We've no right to expect Jesus to come to us if we're walking in ways which are not pleasing to him. We need to repent. We need to forsake all known sin if we're to know his peace and his presence. But there are times when we're in darkness, and before God we know it's not our own doing. We have a good conscience. We're seeking to be faithful to the word of God, seeking to walk in the will of God, and yet we're still being battered by the winds and the waves and the storms. It is dark and Jesus has not come to us. Well, is there not comfort here? Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he will always tell us that the darkness is our own doing. We've brought it on ourselves. But that's not always true. Sometimes the darkness is not our own doing. It is God's doing. He permits the darkness. He permits the night in order to fulfill in us His good and gracious purpose. Remember William Cowper in his hymn, God moves in a mysterious way. He speaks of a frowning providence. A frowning providence. Times when God's smile does not seem to be upon us. We know what he means. Sickness. Bereavement. Not being able to have children. Divorce. Redundancy. Unemployment. There can be so many dark and frowning providences. And whilst we cannot always understand why they come to us, yet by faith we hang on to this conviction that behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. God knows what He's doing, even when we don't. And there is a purpose behind the darkness and the night. When Jesus died, we read this. It was about the sixth hour. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in two. Not a darkness that Jesus had brought on himself, a darkness which had been ordained by God. Yet out of that awful darkness, out of that awful night, there came the redemption of a multitude. The redemption of a great multitude that no man will ever be able to number. Multitudes will be with Christ in heaven because of the darkness, because of the night of Calvary. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said this. It's well worth pondering on. Providence is the Christian's diary, but not his Bible. Providence is the Christian's diary, but not his Bible. What does he mean? Well, turn over the pages of your diary, and it is the record of what has happened. And sometimes it might be page after page of pain, heartache, disappointment, sorrow. Dark providence upon dark providence. That's your diary. But it's not your Bible. Because your Bible assures you God is working all things together. The painful things, the sorrowful things, He's working all things together for your good. God does all things well. What you don't and can't understand now, one day you will. Providence is your diary. It tells you what has happened. But the Bible tells you what will yet happen. That God has a plan and a purpose behind it all. But the second comfort is this. Though Jesus had not yet come to them, his eye was still upon them. Though Jesus had not yet come to them, his eye was still upon them. We see this, if we turn again to Mark's account. Mark chapter 6, verse 46. When he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. When the evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea. Verse 48, then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now notice that Jesus had gone into the mountain to pray. But can I say with reverence that whilst one eye was on his Father in heaven, the other eye was on his disciples on earth. He saw them in their difficulty, their anxiety, their distress. He saw them. The winds and the waves were against them. But Jesus was for them. They felt forsaken, but they'd not been forgotten by Jesus. Well, I want you to remember, that is true for you. In your storms and darkness this morning. Today Jesus is at the Father's right hand. He prays on the Mount of Intercession. But though in heaven he's praying to his Father, his eye is still upon his children on earth. We cannot see him, but he can see us. He knows our trials. He knows our troubles. We're not forgotten this morning. Jesus is for you, even though everyone and everything else might appear to be against you. I remember 30 years ago working for the Department of Employment. And at that time I was working with an investigator who was gathering evidence on those who were working, but at the same time obtaining benefits. And I can remember sitting in a car with him, and he would be reading a newspaper. But in the newspaper, he cut out a small square. And through that square, he could watch the man who was painting or building or cleaning windows. I'm sure the Department of Employment has got far more sophisticated means today. But I suppose to the casual passerby, here was a man who was just reading his newspaper. But the fact was, his eye was on those who were trying to defraud the system. Now, no illustration is perfect, but perhaps in heaven this morning, the angels think that Jesus is just praying to his Father. But the truth is, he's also watching his children on earth. He's promised that we will not be tempted above that which we are able to bear. And so he watches, knowing how much we can and can't endure. Let that be our comfort. In the darkest of nights, in the sorest of trials, when we feel that we're on our own and no one understands what we're going through, our comfort is Jesus is always near. He's always watching. He's always praying. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us in our weaknesses. Frank Graeth was a Methodist pastor in the United States 100 years ago. And he was known as the Sunshine Minister. He was always smiling. He was always optimistic. But even he passed through a time of great despondency and darkness. But during that time, he was comforted by those words from 1 Peter 5, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." And out of that experience, he wrote that Christian song. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the nights so dreary, I know my Saviour cares. Casting all our care upon him, for he sees you and he cares for you. But this takes us on to the third and final comfort. At his own appointed time, Jesus came to them walking on the water. In John 6, verse 17, it was already dark. But things were to get even worse. We're told in verse 17. We're told in verse 18. The sea arose because a great wind was blowing. They had rowed about 3 or 4 miles. High waves. Gale force winds. By now these disciples had been in the boat perhaps 8 or 9 hours. They were exhausted. They were at the point of despair. They must have felt all hope had gone. But it was then, in the very extremity of their need, that Jesus came to them. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." He came to them. He spoke. And in that moment, fear gave way to faith. Panic gave way to peace. The terror of the sea gave way to a simple trust in the Saviour. Are you in the dark this morning? for weeks, for months? Have you been buffeted and battered by the storms? Does Jesus seem distant? Does he seem to be absent? I say to you this morning, take heart. Take heart. Don't give in. Don't give up. Jesus will come. At the right moment, with perfect timing, Jesus will come walking on the water. And again, you will know the sweetness of his presence and the reality of his peace. I remember some years ago being contacted by a man who'd worshipped with us on holiday in Ingleton. And he said how for many months it had been trial upon trial. It had been trouble upon trouble. And his faith had been tested to such an extent he felt that he couldn't pray. And he began to wonder if he was a Christian at all. But he said as he worshipped with us that particular Sunday morning, something happened. His soul had been refreshed. His spirit had been renewed. Christ had come to him. And though many of his problems were ongoing problems, nevertheless, in his heart he knew, all will be well. All will be well. The darkness had been dispelled. And he knew again the peace and the presence of Christ. Isn't that what David meant when he said in Psalm 23, he restores my soul. When you restore something, it's brought back to what it once was. And Jesus Christ is the great restorer. He restores my soul. And so if you're a Christian in darkness this morning, be assured, he will come to you. He will restore your soul. After a time of waiting, he will come to you, even as he came to those first disciples. And in that moment, the darkness will be taken away. And you'll know again the peace of God and the presence of Christ. But one final thing. We're told in verse 21 that they willingly received him into the boat. And then they reached the shore in safety. They reached their desired haven. Is that a picture of something very wonderful? If Jesus is my Saviour, is he your Saviour this morning? If Jesus is my Saviour, if I've received him into this boat, then the Jesus who now comes to us this same Jesus will one day come for us. And in that day, he will remove us from the stormy seas. He will remove us from the choppy waters. We shall anchor safe by the heavenly shore when life's storms are past forevermore. And that's our ultimate hope. That's our ultimate assurance that the Jesus who now comes to us, this same Jesus will one day come for us. There'll be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more death, no more night, no more darkness. We shall be with him forever and forever. But in the meantime, the Christ who will one day come for us, in the here and now, he will come to us. He will restore our souls. He will dispel the night and the darkness. Shall we just pray together? Father, we thank you that if our faith is in Christ, then Jesus is our Saviour, but he's also our friend. He is our great High Priest. He knows our weaknesses. And therefore we do rejoice this morning in the assurance we have that at the Father's right hand, though he prays to his Father, his eye is still upon his children on earth. And Father, we pray for any in the congregation this morning whose experience is similar to that of those first disciples. It is night. It is dark. And Jesus has not yet come to them. Father, we ask that they might take comfort from this portion of your word, that they might be encouraged in knowing that he is the one who restores our souls. And we just pray that in patience they might still walk with Christ, even in those times when he seems to be distant and absent. We pray that they might still walk with Christ until that day comes when he comes to them walking on the water and they know again the sweetness of his presence and the reality of his peace. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Help us so to hide it in our hearts that we shall not sin against you. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.